deep understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
Hey,
hold on,
you've
got to
get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, hello again, my radio friends. We are March 31st, 2024. Passover occurs in approximately a week. If you like keeping the pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, well then today's a special day for you. One thing good about the celebration of Ishtar, the fertility goddess, and how they've mingled it with Christendom, is that it does bring to people's minds the reality of Jesus Christ. So in keeping with that aspect of this pagan ritual that people seem to enjoy, I'll read some of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from Luke 21, verse 7. Of the New Testament. And they asked him, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be that these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But then ye shall hear of wars and commotions. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall arise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from the heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which in our Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day might come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Interesting, huh? The end of the age. Are the signs upon us of the end of the age? Like I said, although it's pagan in its origin, Easter, the celebration of the fertility goddess Ishtar, mingled with Christendom as it has been, brings to people's remembrance the Christ. Here's somebody else with an opinion and a perspective.
Error, we're going to see what's on her mind. That's twice has happened. And you know what the wise man said? Get well soon, Let. That one was for you. And I'm sorry if it dropped out during. Yeah, that's not a first. Happened twice now. And the wise man from the alchemist said, some things do happen once. But if they happen twice, they're probably going to happen a third, fourth and fifth time. We've got Ali Cat in from Era. We're going to see what's on her mind. Hey, Katie, how are you doing? And what's on your mind today?
Hi, Aria. Well, that's a very good segue. actually, because I'm going to be talking a lot about coincidences today. I'm a little discombobulated. I totally forgot about the clock change. I knew about it yesterday and totally forgot about it today. So I was nearly AWOL there, but thankfully the penny dropped just in time to do me sound check. So I can't help, Rhea, following on from what we were talking about last week, having this feeling of something's about to happen. I think there's been a real cosmic shift going on. And there is so much going on in the month of April that I can't help feeling a little nervous about it, because there are so many coincidences. It's just not funny.
Solar eclipse.
The solar eclipse. I'm going to get biblical on your asses.
I thought so.
Oh, yeah. Because it's absolutely mind blowing. The coincidences that are happening. So I know I touched on it last week, but I've been looking into it, and it's actually about the only thing that really interests me, apart from all the other doom and gloom that is out there.
And getting loads of love in the chat.
Oh, hello, people. I'll say hello, special hello to Laird as well. Get well soon. We need you. We need the troops. So take it easy. Plenty of fresh fruit and veg. 75% of your diet should be made up of fruit and veg, by the way. And you'll feel $1 million. So I hope people are going to be interested, particularly people in the US. Because when we take into account the 2017 total eclipse, which was the first time in 100 years that a solar eclipse went right the way across the US. That was in 2017. 7 years later, you know, sabbatical seven, 7 years later, there's another one going the opposite way across the entire country of the United States to form an X. And wait till I tell you where X marks the spot. Don't know if anybody else has been listening or watching in the chat. I might say hello to the chat, Rhea, before we go on any further. What do you think?
I tried to do a gentle reminder.
Yeah, I know. It's never, the chat is never far from my mind. It's just trying to fit everything in. So I will say hello to the chat. I've got some great stuff on the biblical level for you all today. So, Sassy darling, how you? Yeah, CERN is in there. CERN is sparking up the Hadron Collider on the 8th of April, same day as the solar eclipse, which happens to be Nisan the first, which is the first day of the Hebrew calendar. The Hebrew calendar, when we call it the Jewish calendar, it's not. It's God's calendar, actually. It's just been forgotten about. So Nitzan, yeah, the 8th of April total. Oh, it's going to be total. Wait till I tell you all the towns it's going through. Hiya, Karen. You didn't give me my reminder. Karen is usually there with my reminders when it slips my mind. Will smirking. How you doing, Will? And Tumbleweed. I see you're all with me here. Gary PC. DJ Ash, Telford Tighe, Vendors is in there, and Laird, thoughts and prayers with you, darling. One Stevens, Tumbleweed, Alzheimer's, how you doing, Alzheimer's? JD 23455, difficult without the glasses. Space Hippie is in there as well, and Nice Ghost, said Sassy. VFB, that's another hard one without the glasses. Joss, hiya Joss, you might like this one. And big hugs and squeezy bum to Joe Edmonds, and Noddy is in there as well. I think I've got most of them there. Do you want to take any on the others? I can't see, Rhea.
Yeah, I do. I want to get Nice ghost down in Oz says, digital ID passed Australian Senate this week. I saw it, NG, and I saw your post. And in my locals, sundaylonglieradio.locals.com, or click the red button thing in Rumble. You don't have to pay. It's not a pay thing. I put a list of the yays and nays from the Australian Senate. Did you see it in my locals, NG? It's in there, so it's got, you can see all the senators that went for it and all the senators that opposed it in a list. So that's in my locals for anybody that's interested. So digital ID is now go, go, go in Australia. And anybody else in Rumble, no, we saw in previous contexts, other than America PHL, America First PHL, you'll be lucky, scumbag. I do not want to live in a 15-minute cubicle city unless it has many brooks running through it. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I do not want to live in space. I do not want AI control in our lives.
Ireland. And there's been a few big changes. They're moving away from the woke, including Sinn Féin, and the hate speech laws may be in trouble. Big trouble, actually, which got a lot of international tension around the world. So they're kind of being nice at the minute. And to tell you the truth, like any abuser, when they start being nice, you kind of start thinking, what's up? Why are they being so nice? So I think there's a lot of movements going on. I'm surprised that the digital ID got through Australia, because there's a number of law cases going on in Australia that are quite interesting at the moment. So there seems to be two sides of the coin in Australia on the waking up movement. And there is definitely a tipping point where more and more people are waking up and more politicians are being a little concerned and are changing tack, doing U-turns. I mean, Sinn Féin have done a U-turn entirely and are kind of trying to say, like, what are you saying? Like, we always thought that way. Thinking us or taking us for fools. So as I said, I think there's a lot of cosmic shifts going on. I see Brian the Lion says, was Salem the old name for Jerusalem? Yes, it was, actually. And we'll be talking about that. I find some of the towns in the US fascinating, some of the names, particularly from the Old Testament or the Bible. Particularly the Old Testament, but we go into that. So let me first, Rhea, give you a little list of what's going on in April, apart from my birthday month, I might add. But that's not a cause for celebration these days.
Oh, don't be like that. No, so you made it round the sun or over the sun, however that works for you. Yeah. We just had another drop. It was a partial. Lovely's on the radio. That's our, well, I think it's our end. We're not losing everything. We just lose because we feed out loads of different feeds and just some of them are shutting down. So that's twice now in a couple of minutes. So sorry about that. It's partial, but not all of it, which is weird. Back to you, Alicat.
Yeah, I can see that on my own phone here that it must be you. So, right. So, as I said, strange times, Rhea. Maybe this is something, you know, that the supernatural beings out there don't want being broadcast, because there is such a supernatural element of our life that we don't understand, that has been hidden from us. But anyway, let me tell you what's going on in April, as I said, apart from my birthday month, which, as I said, is not a cause for celebration. It's more a surprise, Rhea, that I'm still here. Anyway, on the 22nd of April, there's a very interesting documentary about the medical democide in the UK. Jackie Duvoy, I don't know if anybody's heard that, in conjunction with Robert F. Kennedy, who's showing it in the US. That's launching on the 22nd of April and it's called Playing God. Just, you know, something to mark in your calendar. 22nd of April is also the Passover. As I said, people say it's the Jewish calendar, but it's not. It's God's calendar. The 18th of April is going to be an interesting day in the Houses of Commons, because that's when the excess deaths debate is finally going to be discussed. And as I discussed, and as Sassy pointed out, on the 8th of April, which, as I said, is the first Nisan, the first day of the Hebrew calendar, CERN is sparking up again, which is kind of interesting, because that is so satanic and out in the open. It's also partially situated in a town called St. Ginis Pouli. Now, forgive my pronunciation for any French listeners out there, but the name Pouli, P-O-U-I-L-L-Y, comes from the Latin Apollicum, and it is believed that in Roman times a temple existed to honor Apollo, and may actually be the seat of Satan, mentioned in the Bible. There's a bit of debate over that. It could also be Turkey. Anyway, also on the 8th of April, NASA is launching 3 rockets into the moon's shadow, just as it comes out from the eclipse, named Apep, A-P-E-P, which is an Egyptian god, a god of darkness, as Shiva is with CERN, the god, the destroyer. And here's another thing that's kind of interesting. Around the 8th of April, in the US Midwest, and the Midwest is where the solar eclipse is happening, there's going to be 2 breeds of cicadas that are going to come out of the ground. Billions and billions of them. And that hasn't happened in 200 years. Apparently, Thomas Jefferson was around. So as I said, I just can't help myself, Rhea. And it is allegedly a religious festival today, being Easter, or the festival of Ishtar, where we worship the fertility god, eggs and bunnies. So, as I said, I think we may talk a little bit of biblical prophecy, foreboding, a bit of cosmic boogie-woogie, and maybe a little bit of history as well. So, to me, Rhea, and I don't know chat as well, you tell me, does anybody else have their antennas up or something up? It appears to me that things are lining up all over the place. And I think that's what's got me nervous. So what about you, Rhea? You all cool, calm and collected? You feeling nervous in any way? Chat, feeling nervous in any way?
Like your cadence, yeah, it's crap.
That's my cadence, yeah. Well, you know the Irish.
Okay, so am I feeling nervous? Don't we all? Aren't we all constantly on edge? Just because? So I'm not locked onto what you're locked onto, so I can say that. You deal more in that realm than I do, which is great. Me, I'm more locked onto the United Nations and their private donors, like the more logistical stuff, let's say, that's tangible to me. Like, if you're new to listening, a short time ago, I asked the question, what is this thing you call international law? So I embarked on a 34 course lecture and I did about, it came in at just probably a bit over 100 hours of homework on it and so on. So that's, I'm still on that there. And then when I saw that headline from Louisiana this morning saying, let me read you the headline. So it is word for word. So I think it is important that it's word for word that turned up in Slay News. But it needs to be, in my mind, this needs to be verified just to make sure that it's not made up garbage, because I'm not there. Headline in Slay News: Louisiana Republicans pass bill to block the World Economic Forum, the United Nations and its private donors, the World Health Organization from exerting power in the state. So to me, I'm sort of locked onto this thing that I can't get out of my head. Is the system law puppets, the suit, stand up and say, we've got to fight for democracy. Hold it a second, Zelensky cancelled democracy and all that stuff. Meanwhile, they're just shoving loads of legislation through that the UK can't get rid of the rubber boat people. And also, that's more what I'm locked onto. I want to do the woo. I was going to ask you something the other day. It was a woo-woo thing. But, like, do the woo-woo, But my reply to your question, Ali Cat, is, aren't we all just on edge anyway? And the radars are up. You know, you've got the Key Bridge thing, and you've got tons of content in the conspiracy. That's my answer, my darling. So my answer is, what is my answer? No more. My radar isn't alert any more than usual. That's my answer.
Okay, well, let me, I suppose, do a different side of that, because I see all these, the international law and all the global players. And the more I look into history, because you've got to know your history, know your Bible. And the more I look at the Bible, the more I understand exactly what is going on, the more it doesn't surprise me, the more it doesn't confuse me or confound me, because I know the end game here. So, and you know, you could go back to the Tower of Babel. It's the same thing. They want to collapse the West and build a new system, which is the satanic system. And I remember once, Rhea, many, many years ago, there's some things that stick in your mind. And this, you know, sometimes real trivial things stick in my mind. But I saw a cartoon in the paper that my parents used to get, and I didn't quite understand it. And I don't even remember what the joke was. But it was a cartoon of a man holding a big placard saying, "The end is nigh." And I didn't know what nigh meant at the time. That was the day I learned. But I feel I have become that man.
Very
to
modern.
A certain extent. Well, aren't I? You see, even the transgender thing is kind of falling by the wayside. There's things falling by the wayside.
People are working out, Katie, that it's not a left-right paradigm problem anymore. It's you either fight...
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's hyphen, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, welcome back. I was playing a clip from Rhea Bowe's show that aired earlier this morning regarding the celestial events, the phenomena in the sky with the sun and the moon and the stars that's taking place throughout the month of April. Yeah, during the commercial, I was getting some cold brew coffee. Man, I like that stuff. It's really strong, and it's good. Regarding that bridge and the ship that knocked it down in Baltimore, Maryland, I would suggest, just for the sake of curiosity, speed that up a little bit. Find a clip of it on YouTube and speed it up a little bit and see if it doesn't look like that thing was deliberately driven into that bridge. If you watch it in real time, it's like watching snails procreate. Speed the film up, and it looks like that ship was driven directly into that pylon, into that pillar, into that support. Whether it was an accident or deliberate, that bridge is in the water, and one of the major ports of the United States is non-functional today, whether it was deliberate or not. That thing is in the water.
Fight to keep the way of life that you like, and didn't vote at all to change it. Maybe a bit, clean the place up and all that in a reasonable way. But I think people are genuinely working out this is the United Nations and their private donors versus the nation state. And we've been infiltrated, and I think people are seeing it. I do. So what's on my radar? I'll tell you what's on my radar. To find quality short sound bites that cut through like, rather than calling it the United Nations, I call it the United Nations and its private donors. So it's things like that that go, oh, I quite like that because it's true. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I was listening to, just as an aside now, a great soundbite from UK Column News, one of my go-to channels. They are really good. And they played it a number of times. And I'm not sure who it is. I think it's a Jewish official, an Israeli official, who says that they're going after Russia because they support Nazis. So there are many sound bites out there. And I've got to admit, I mean, we talked about saturation last year. I'm above saturation. I'm bored with it. I see the game that is being played out here. And I don't look for logic or sense in it. Unless, well, not in the right way. I see what they're doing, and that's where the logic and sense is. So when you say they're being hypocritical and they're saying we've got to protect democracy in one sense and not in the other, it's all part of the merry dance that they play. And that's why I feel knowing your history, the real history, and knowing your Bible really helps you understand what is going on and why it's going on. Because as I said before, there's a whole supernatural element to our world that has been hidden from us. And we play around with it, with Ouija boards and divinations and all the and DMT and all the rest of it, but we don't really understand it. So I think having that element of our worldview actually helps understand what's going on. So now, will I tell you about all the coincidences about the solar eclipse?
So you kind of qualified somewhat. You know, you're feeling the heebie-jeebies. You know, your heckles are up, the radar's on, something's going on. Right, okay, cool. You've substantiated that with dates and times. What about the woo-woo stuff then?
Well, you see, that's it. I've just said it. We think of it as woo-woo. We think of it as something kind of fantastical, when in actual fact, it's very much an important element. So I'll give you we'll call it woo-woo. Let's go into all the coincidences that are happening. Both, I'll have to go back to the 27th, 2017 eclipse, because it's the twin sister. But first, you know, and the solar eclipse of the 8th of April is part of a larger set of heavenly events that have been going on. Wait till I tell you. There's just so much. But first and foremost, it's critical to understand why God made the sun, moon and stars. Stars are supposed to be heavenly hosts, by the way, angels, and anybody on the flat earth spectrum would understand that. Anyway, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says this. Then God said, let the lights be in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, the Hebrew word for seasons is moedim, and it doesn't mean spring, summer, fall or winter. It literally means God's appointed feast days. And because the seasons are all about the first and second coming of the Messiah, they are intimately connected with prophecy. So, and the other one is, it means a signal or an omen. So the sun, moon and stars were put in place to give us signals and warnings according to the Bible. So I'm just saying, I could quote you a number of verses in the Bible that talk about the sun and the moon going dark and earthquakes happening and all the rest of it. But I know some people will glaze over. So the solar eclipse, and it's once in a lifetime eclipses on the 2017 and 2014. And it forms a proverbial X right in the middle of the United States. And it's very rare, as I said, that it transverses the entire country. And it's happened twice in 7 years. And the funny thing is the US government is taking precautions this time. It's keeping kids out of school. Kind of on high alert, which hasn't quite happened before. though they have stopped some children in 2017. So here's the woo-woo. Here's the coincidences. In August 20, I'm going to have to read this now because there's so many. On August the 21st, 2017, for the first time in over 100 years, the sun crossed the entire United States of America, starting in Salem, Oregon, and moving through the entire Midwest, where the Cascades are all coming out, and exiting through South Carolina on the East Coast. So what was fascinating about the eclipse was that at the precise time that the sun was going down in Jerusalem, the sun was rising in Salem, Oregon, which is the ancient name for Jerusalem in the Bible. So there are 36 cities in the United States named Salem. And in 2017, the eclipse went through exactly 7 of them. So we saw a lot of sevens in 2017, and you're probably about to see a lot more. It's 7 being the number of perfection in scripture, by the way. So that solar eclipse in 2017 also happened to be the Hebrew year of 5777. But the real mind-blowing bit is the very place that the eclipse reached maximum totality. The last city it went through before it reached totality was Jacob, Illinois, which happens to be in the only area of the United States that's called Little Egypt. The maximum totality just so happens to be within a 7-mile radius that includes all of Little Egypt, including Devil's Lake, Lake Egypt, and giant Nephilim City National Park. So, and the last city that it goes through is Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So that is that bit. So that was 2017. So let's move on to April the 8th, 2024, which is the twin sister of the 2017 eclipse. So this is 7 years on. So while the eclipse of 2017 highlighted 7 cities named Salem with the maximum totality over an area known as Little Egypt, the 2024 eclipse is going to up the ante a bit by going through another 26 cities named Salem, meaning that the 2 total solar eclipses would pass through 33 out of the 36 cities of Salem. An interesting number. It's also incredible to learn that there are only 7 cities in the entire United States with the name Nineveh, which I find is an unusual name to call a new city, because that was one of the Babylonian cities where, in fact, Jonah went to preach. In fact, I'll go on about that. So the 2024 eclipse passes directly over 2 of them. 4 more are barely outside the area of totality. So Nineveh was the city that Jonah was sent to warn them of the impending doom if they do not repent. So there are only 2 cities in the whole of the US named Jonah, and the 2024 eclipse passes right over the top of one of them in Texas. So, still more. While the 2017 eclipse hit its maximum totality in a place called Little Egypt, the actual epicenter finds itself right next to the 2 legs called Devil's Kitchen in Egypt Lake. And against all mathematical possibilities, the 2024 eclipse crosses the 2017 eclipse in precisely the exact place in southern Illinois. The X marks the spot, being over 1 single road in the middle of the national forest, just a few miles west of Devil's Kitchen. What's the name of that road, do you think?
Salem's Road.
Salem's Road. So we're not finished there, because the X made from the solar eclipses of 2017 and 2024 finds itself directly over the New Madrid fault line for the first time in American history. And here's another thing, Rhea, that's happening at the same time. Incredibly, for the first time in 71 years, there is a comet by the name of 12P Pons Brooks, otherwise known as the Devil's Comet. And that is going to show up right next to the sun on April the 8th. In fact, I think people in the US can even see it now with the setting sun, allegedly, that comet. So from Devil's Lake to Devil's Comets, it seems that the devil, Egypt, Jerusalem, Jonah, and Nineveh all seem to be highlighted by these events on the 8th of April. But there's more, Rhea, because at that time, if anybody wants to look up, I didn't verify this, but I'm taking the word of Ministries of Truth is where I got this from, stellarium.com. And it will show that not only are all eight planets lining up, looking to the west, but the Devil's Comet is also in the alignment right with the sun. So what does all this mean? I don't know, but I do know one thing. All these coincidences are adding up to beat all the odds. And I think that deserves a bit of attention. What do you think so far, Rhea?
I've glazed over a bit and I had to deal with something in Rumble. Chat room rules, be cool, spread a little love and don't make it personal. I'll tell you what I thought when you was a bit of the way through before I glazed over a bit was, where are you getting this from?
The Bible. Well, what do you mean? Where are we getting from the trajectory or?
No, the list, what you've just read out. So you're reading this out, aren't you? Where'd you get the, where's it come from?
I got, that comes from the Ministry of Truth website. But I've looked at a few others. This is the bit I'm reading out is specifically because it said it so succinctly. But I've been looking at quite a few Amazing Discoveries. Love Amazing Discoveries. That's a good site. And a number of other sites where I've watched the trajectory. So NASA shows the trajectory of both the solar eclipses.
So the general thing for a numpty like me is the solar eclipses at the core that's giving you the spooks, probably leading up with some events and stuff like that. And then the solar thing that's happening, I think it's on the 7th and 8th, for some of the regions across the U.S., that is indicating a biblical event around the 7 and 8 to, hopefully I got that right-ish so far. And then from there, something big is going to happen. Is that right?
It's a signal or an omen, as far as the Bible is concerned, of something important.
Not big, important.
Yeah. Important.
What would it be then?
More. Well, you know, I believe it is coming to the end times. And no matter, as I said, I know I sound crazy. If I met myself 5 years ago, I'd run a mile. I'd have said I was a religious nut.
Not crazy amongst us, are you? Come on.
No. Well, I'm just letting it out there. I would have run a mile from me 5 years ago. But you know, it's not just me. The ruling class believe this. We've seen it over and over again with their satanic rituals. We know what CERN is there for. So we know the devil knows the Bible better than any of us on this planet, let me tell you. And his history will show that there are times. Alexander the Great, when he conquered Medo-Persia, there was a solar eclipse. So there are things that we've been told to ignore. But let me tell you, the ruling class know all about them and they observe them and they think they're important. So I think that's why we should think it's important as well. We have been, as I said, this supernatural woo-woo aspect of our worldview has been hidden from us. Only the ruling class know, and they know. Well, they don't know for sure. Only God knows for sure. But what I am saying really is there's a lot of coincidences lining up. There's a lot of cosmic boogie-woogie going on. And I think it deserves, whether you believe it or not, I think it does deserve some attention. Because let me tell you, the ruling classes are, they are giving it a great deal of attention. CERN is, NASA is, the US government is. And the cicadas are all coming out as well.
You're on board with what Simon says. And so Simon, Sightlanders, he follows the, like, I'm going to say, don't go down there. I'm just saying that you're saying that the powers to be follow this stuff, right? I think that's what you're saying. And Simon was saying, you know, the Talmud and all that kind of stuff has got dates and times and rhythms and cycles. He's been following that and talking about that. Do the two line up together, Katie?
The Talmud is written by the ruling class, high priests, who basically say the likes of you and I are nothing more than animals and monsters and could be dispensed with. It's man's version. It's a satanic version of the Torah. And it is not biblical. I've said that many's the time.
It's not
quite an evil book. Well, it is in the sense that the high priests were the ones who wrote that. It comes from the priest class. The ruling class and the priest class go back to the fallen angels and the Nephilim and the Raphaim. They know the cosmic workings. They live in the cosmic workings. We only live in our 3D world. They move around.
Okay. And you've said the ruling classes know a lot. You've said cicadas a lot. Do they play a part?
Well, you know, in Matthew, you have Matthew 24:6-13. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by the nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And a lot, they talk about pestilences and plagues. And, you know, the 10 plagues of Egypt, one of them was locusts, which I think cicadas are the cicadas. Or a species of. I could be wrong on that.
Do other. So, we've got 60 seconds. Just a real quick one. I'm sorry to keep coming over the top of you. And I know what you're trying to say and get over is not an easy thing. And I know I ask childish questions, but I kind of like that angle. Like, why is the sky blue? You know what I mean? It just cuts past the, like, the nuances. And because I don't understand it, right? You do and I don't. 60 seconds, a real quick one. How does, this coming from Sassy, how does the total eclipse thing work on the flat earth spectrum thing? 30 seconds.
I knew you were going to go here.
Of course she did.
Right. And I want to explain this to you. And I'm glad you asked questions. There's a lot of things I don't understand that you know. Same with everybody else. I think we can all share our knowledge. Look. And it's the same with birthdays. If you picture a dish and the sun and the moon are above that dish and go around it in a circle, okay? Say the moon on one side and the sun on the other. So they go around.
Out of time.
Plate. Okay, so what happens is sun moves in, or the moon moves into the sun's trajectory. So that's how it is. I'll try and explain it a little bit more. But it's a light that just goes around in a circle instead of around in a ball.
So what about the eclipse then?
They both join up because the sun moves faster than the moon. So at various times, which can be predicted to the minute, by the way, And how you can predict something while you're traversing through the universe at a million miles an hour is amazing. But this can be predicted within the minute. So what happens is the sun moves quicker and then ends up behind the moon.
Okay, all right, that's enough. We've got to go. You've got to say goodbye as we've run over time.
Right. Well, I hope, you know, it wasn't quite woo-woo. I think we do need to sit up and pay attention. As I said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but the evil principalities and powers of this present darkness that rule in high places, and that's in different realms. So look, I love you all, as always. Be kind to each other. Be good to each other. Love God, love thy neighbor, and we'll be fine. Love you all, and have a good week.
We love you and yours, Ali Cat, and all your woo-woo and all that kind of stuff. There you go, lovelies. Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. UK, and 9 p.m.
Yeah, that's Rhea Bo. And her show starts at 5 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And she's a delightful woman. And she has various speakers on her show throughout the four-hour broadcast. And if you're up on a Sunday morning, I recommend it. The channel you can listen to it on is Red Pill Radio on Rumble from 5 to 9 a.m. on Sunday morning Central Time in the United States. I believe she's broadcasting out of either South Africa or the U.K. She has American speakers and other European speakers, English speakers from all around the globe who have many interesting topics to touch on. And she's got such a upbeat and delightful manner about her as a moderator. It makes it very listenable.
Industrial Complex Podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement. Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show. Find it right here at revolution.radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne.
and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type, placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
It is interesting times. And if you're still with me, thank you for being there. I appreciate it like you don't even know. It is interesting times. And you've got the openly homosexual Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, in charge of figuring out the whole boat hitting bridge, fall in the water thing. It's hard to have confidence in that guy. And then you've got your president in the United States, Biden, proclaiming this holiday Sunday transgender recognition or visibility day or something like that. I mean, it is like the inmates are running the asylum. It's like madness has taken over. You've got just lunacy just parading down the streets of power in the United States. And it's really, really something. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. So this is from Rhea's show earlier today. Another commentator found the subject of the celestial events that are upcoming topical enough to spend time on.
MUK, and currently 9 p.m., I believe, New South Wales, down in the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know how that works on the flat earth tards and all that. Anyway, Joss, how are you doing, and what's on your mind today?
I'm good, thanks, Rhea. I'd plan to talk about a lot of the stuff that Katie.
Of course, she was.
Yeah, the woo woo, the incoming woo woo stuff, and she's talking about stuff, and I'm looking stuff up, and then she says it. She only went and said it. The thing about Nineveh, I'm like, bugger. I had it all planned. I did, foiled once again. But never mind. I've got a few other things I can talk about. I'll expand a little bit on just little bits and pieces that I've found about this upcoming eclipse, because it fascinates me. And whilst I don't pretend to understand, do you know what I mean? I'm trying to fathom out, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? The you know, bodies moving around in the heavens above and stuff. And I can't pretend to get it. I'm just exploring. I'm fishing my way through life, like we all are. We're all kind of the blind leading the blind to a degree. But anyway, I found a few bits and pieces. I'll let me say hi to the folk in the chat before I do anything else. DJ Ash, nice choice of tune there, mate. Jed Woody in the house, good to see you. Gemini Cartel, VFB, Karen Burns, Katie Daly. Say I rest my case though. Yeah. Back for in the house, good to see a lungless Leb. Gary PC. We got Night and Day, that Will Smirkin. I think I said hi to Karen Burns. Hey, Karen. I haven't quite got the gravel that I did the other week, you know, but hey, Karen. That just rolls off the tongue so nicely, doesn't it? Peace Train in the house as well. Vendors, good to see you. One Stephen. We got Sassy in the house. I think I said hi for back. Hi to back for. Noddy, of course, can't forget Noddy. Anyone else before we carry on? Joseph Edmonds, I don't think I said hi to. Jed Woody's donated an ice cream. Thank you very much for that. And that's for the Wasteland Fund, you know, when we've all got mohawks and bones through our noses and we're listening to way too much Tina Turner and stuff like that whilst driving around in crusty buses. Trying to escape the fourth industrial revolution and all of that malarkey that the 0.001% have got planned for the rest of us because, you know, they care about us that much. I think we got Space Hippie in the house as well. Annie D, I think, as well. Patrick C, I can see here. Telford Tiger, GC1905. And I think that's just about everyone I can spot. Katie Daly here saying, you can do the eclipse from your point of view. Tell them about the red heifers. I don't know anything about the red heifers. Is that like the red arrows? But, you know, before they invented planes, they had the red heifers running around the field in formation or something. I'm not entirely sure. Excuse me. Anyway, and I've let the side down. I forgot. I know I said I would last week, but I forgot to load up the Rumble chat. So maybe you can get that. But how are you, Rhea?
I'm good. In the Rumble chat, DJ Ash had that old school ravey one and like good times, memories and all that. And in the Rumble chat, they're talking about keg parties. Now, I've never heard of a keg party, but it sounds really good to me. The closest thing I could think of to what you're saying in the Rumble chat is we would have gone to the woods around a fire, super young, drunk really horrible cheap cider around a fire and absolutely loved it and felt awful the next day sort of thing. So that's the closest I've got to the keggers, I think is what it was. I've never heard of that. That's a new thing to me. I like that. Invite me. What's on my mind today? Expand more on what Alley Cat said, because I think that's where you want to go, Joss.
Well, yeah, I do. And I've got to say, I'm just looking up this red heifers business. It's got nothing to do with the red arrows. So this could be interesting. I'm just going to take a look at this website as we speak. Would sacrifice of red heifer invite apocalypse? Here's everything you need to know, apparently. So this, thecashmiriat.co.uk. Okay, it's an English website, but Cashmiriat, okay. The recent surge of interest in apocalyptic prophecies has been reignited by a curious phenomenon surrounding red cows and ancient rituals, prompting widespread speculation about an impending cataclysm. Well, I've heard lots of rumours about an impending cataclysm, but it's the first time I've actually run into red heifers. There we are. Throughout history, humanity has harboured a persistent fascination with the notion of the end of the world, a fixation deeply ingrained in both religious beliefs and psychological tendencies. Over the past 15 years alone, numerous dates have been earmarked as potential harbingers of the eclipse, including May the 21st, 2011, December the 21st, 2012, September the 23rd, 2017, among others. However, none of these predictions have come to fruition. I suppose one could say nobody knows the day or the hour. Surveys indicate that approximately 41% of Americans anticipate the return of Jesus by the year 2050, while a similar proportion of Muslims foresee the world's end occurring within their lifetimes. Remarkably, the allure of doomsday scenarios predates organized religion, as evidenced by ancient texts such as the 5,000-year-old Sumerian epic, the Epic of Gilgamesh. I've got a copy of that somewhere, which recounts a divine decision to unleash a flood upon humanity as punishment for its transgressions. Well, I think I'll leave this here, but this is kind of an education for me. I'll just do a little bit more actually. At the center of this latest intrigue, because this is kind of getting to the point, isn't it, lies a centuries-old tradition involving the preparation of a sacrificial altar in Jerusalem, overlooking the Mount of Olives, where a perfectly red heifer, devoid of any blemish or yoke, is to be offered in accordance with ancient Jewish rites. In September 2022, Israel acquired 5 perfectly red heifers from Texas, although one of them has been deemed unsuitable. The remaining 4 are now being groomed and protected with meticulous care. They are considered potential candidates for the sacrificial ritual, which is to be conducted at a location overlooking the site where the ancient Second Temple, also known as the Temple of Herod, once stood. This temple, tragically destroyed by the Romans in the year 70, holds immense historical and religious significance in Judaism. This sacrifice ritual, dating back to the time of Moses, holds profound significance with Jewish tradition, where the ashes of a red heifer are deemed essential for purification rituals preceding the construction of a third temple in Jerusalem. Okay, the prospect of resurrecting this ancient sanctuary is viewed by some as a pivotal precursor to the advent of a messianic era. The narrative takes a geopolitical turn as the proposed location for the third temple intersects with one of the most contested and sacred sites in the world, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock Shrine, revered by Muslims worldwide.
Can I get a comment?
Go for it.
You're on a roll, right? You're going to be there for an hour. I want to get a comment. God, it just made me laugh. Basil1XA just rumbled and said, are the red heifers where Savaloys come from, Joss?
Do you know what? That's probably a really good place to segue out of this one, because I could read on and on and on and on.
I tell you what, it's, I'm thinking as well. Just sorry, go on, and then you can roll, right? Is John's dog's mum was going to tune in from Rumble. So John's in Rumble, John's dog. His mum was going to tune in. And as you're reading this stuff out about the heifer, I'm thinking, I'm quite pleased, actually. She probably hasn't tuned in. So may not have been a good day to do that, John. So, yeah, just saying, like, anyway, Savaloy's just.
Oh, Savaloy, that's the comment of the day. Congratulations, you've won the internet and all that. Yeah, that was fabulous. Is that where Savaloy's
from? Oi, oi, Savaloy.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so, well, little things that I've found out over the last couple of weeks, and without paying a huge amount of attention to, but nonetheless, I've recalled. This eclipse coming up on the 8th. We'll pass through, I can't remember if Katie listed all of these, but it will pass through 8 towns, all called Nineveh. So you've got Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, and Ohio and Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, and Nova Scotia. Each of those towns of or cities, whatever, they've got a town or village or something called Nineveh in it. And there is one such place, and I think Katie mentioned this, one such town called Jonah, So the significance of Nineveh, for those unfamiliar, is from the story of the, well, it was the book of Jonah in the Bible. So I could just to kind of I'll read a little bit from this, actually, because let's just see how, because I'm not so concerned necessarily about the historical side of it, whether it happened or whether it didn't. I'm kind of trying to look at the allegory. So here we go from the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. No relation of Amittai Etzioni, by the way, the godfather of communitarianism who popped his clogs a few months ago. But yeah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.
What Nineveh was that one then?
Well, this wasn't any of the ones in America. So just rest assured, it wasn't. It was Nineveh was where's Nineveh? Nineveh is somewhere in the Middle East. I can't remember exactly where. Let me see. Hang on, I've got a thing here. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was built by Nimrod, according to the biblical account. And that was from Genesis chapter 10, verse 10. Nineveh was situated on the eastern bank of the river Hadakel, or the Tigris, opposite the modern city of Mosul, expanded by various Assyrian kings, and finally Sennacherib, I think it is. It became the largest city in the world for about 50 years. It was destroyed in 612 BC by a
what
coalition
country?
Of Medes. Assyria.
Oh, okay,
Assyria.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was destroyed in 612 BC by a coalition of Medes, Persians, and Babylonians, and some other nations that were supposed to be subjected to Assyria. So,
well, got a good comment.
Then, that very quickly, I'll just say this: the story of Jonah comes a little bit, a bit of a different time to that. But anyway, go ahead with the comment.
Comment in from Rumble from Percussion Paradigm, great name. Percussion Paradigm says, a leader of Hamas stated the attack earlier this year was in part due to the red heifers brought in from Texas. Wow, I didn't know anything about any of this. So in short, help me out here. Why is the sky blue? When someone says or uses the term red heifer, it's what, an end time thing or something?
Well,
I wouldn't
ask me, because I've only just found out about myself. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Some people, we all just pick up on different stuff. That's something I've just found out about today, and fascinating. I'll carry on reading on that. But I think I'd like to carry on with a bit of this from Jonah here, if you're happy for me to do that, because I think there's a bit of allegory to be drawn here. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
You've gone into audiobook mode.
Kind of.
Go on then, that's better. I'm more engaged like that.
Okay, all right, I'll carry on. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain said to him, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from?
You know, carpet salesman or something.
What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the law because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" And Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas." And the should I carry on in that voice? "The heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sights. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land, at which point he had to deliver a message. So God said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." At this point, I should imagine Jonah's going, okay, anything you tell me. So Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Quite why they do that, I don't know. Sackcloth and ashes, and woe is me, and all that kind of thing. But anyway, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. So even the king of this great city has assumed a position of equal humility to everybody else who lives in that city. Interesting. Hierarchy, be gone, kind of thing. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles," he probably didn't talk like that, but "do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there because I wanted to look at something else here. Right? I looked up a little old website here, Aberin Publications, it was called, because I wanted to find the meaning, the etymology of the name Nineveh. So one possibility, and this is from Nineveh in biblical Hebrew. Okay, so. It's a funny thing because Hebrew, it hasn't really got vowels as such. I think there's little additional dots you can add on to the consonants, if you can call them that, which change the endings of certain Hebrew letters. So whereas you don't have vowels themselves, you change the end of a consonant. So, the letter H, if there is such a thing in Hebrew, it could end in hi or he or hey or ho or something like that. But, you know, pick the vowels. But there are no letters for the vowels themselves. It's kind of an ending of the letter. So bearing that in mind. So nin, nen, nun, none. And I was doing a bit of Father Jack there. That would be an ecumenical matter, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So not nin, but none is the verb to propagate strongly, possibly combined with nawe. So none, nawe. Nawe, to be a seat of government. So is something going on here? A seat of government is to be propagated strongly. Is it the New World Order? Are they coming in for the kill? Is that what the name Nineveh means? I don't know. It was a bloody big city back in the day, you know. So that was a thing. But yeah, all those towns and cities... What does it mean? I think, mate, I've kind of heard, you know, from those who know about astrology and stuff. I think it is kind of a time of repentance, really, because it's kind of in conjunction with Easter. Happy Easter, by the way, everyone. Happy Easter today. It's or whatever one believes, Ostara from the 21st of March, I think that was, but excuse me. Anyway, yeah, so I think it kind of is about a time of repentance. The general sense that I think a lot of people have got is, excuse me, the poo is hitting the propeller somewhat. And I do you know what? I think I've said this before. It's kind of like, I just want to be clean. I know exactly which side I want to be on. I want to be with the good guys, you know, trying to do good in the world, not do evil. And so, I don't know, how's all this going to play out? Is all this eclipse business passing through those eight towns called Nineveh and at least one called Jonah? Is that kind of almost like a phoenix event type warning? And as Katie said, you know, forming an X from the, it was like the twin sister of the one in 2017, wasn't it? So that's the thing. I heard someone talking about this stuff about 3 weeks ago. And yeah, I've been trying to sort of bring it to mind for this because we're right up on it. So is this kind of a test that we're going through at the moment? And those who try their damnedest to put things right in their life, you know, we'll be all right. But the ones who perpetuate evil, be damned or something. I don't know, but it seems like a real kind of test. I'm looking at things in my own life at the moment Why have I got this perpetual chest thing? Is it related to, here comes the woo-woo, more woo-woo, you know, is it related? Is it a chakra imbalance? I've been speaking to someone about that and just thinking I need to get guidance. You know, sometimes we have to swallow our egos and admit that we haven't got all the answers ourselves. And sometimes we need to reach out to other people for a little bit of help. And that's a bit of, that's an act of humility, you know, and it's a good thing to do. But it kind of hurts sometimes having to swallow that little bit of pride, which we can all be guilty of. But there we are. Anyway, listen, Sunday Easter sermon over for the time being. Any thoughts on that bunch of woo-woo, Rhea?
Well, there you go. Some more talk from this morning's show, Rhea Bowe's show, Long Live Live Radio. There is every Sunday on Rumble at Red Pill Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm going to change it up. You heard the man refer to the red heifer. And it appears that in the land of Israel, there's an effort to find a perfect red heifer to make a sacrifice to anoint the building of a third temple. And they've been genetically altering cattle in the state of Texas, in the United States, to try and produce a completely red-haired heifer to make this ritual possible. And just recently, they flew 5 red heifer cattle to Israel, and they have to make this sacrifice before the cows are 4 years old. So they have to be between the ages, I believe, of 3 and 4 years old to qualify for the sacrifice. And they have to be completely red, no white hairs to be found. And they've genetically attempted this to fulfill the biblical mandate for the sacrifice of the red heifer for the building of the third temple. They're doing this stuff. You could say, well, I don't believe in none of that, but they do believe in this stuff. They're into it, man. They're into it heavy, man. You know, like the CERN thing in Switzerland, trying to find the God particles and stuff like that. You could say, man, I don't know about none of that. You know, I don't think much of that. They are into it, man. They are into it. Yeah, well, man, you know, I watch the game, man. I drink me a cold one and I watch the game and I got this going on. Yeah, well, there's these other people over here doing some other things that might interest you. Maybe you could find interest in some of these things that are taking place. Or maybe not. Maybe you just do a little itch, have a little drink, watch tube a little bit. I don't know about nothing. That knowing nothing, I think, is dangerous. Knowledge is power. I think it's good to be aware of what's going on around you, as opposed to being mesmerized and transfixed with hypnosis, with mind control, mesmerized, googly-eyed, dumbfounded, blasé'd. Acquire some awareness for thine own sake, if you want, if you're so inclined, if you can find it within yourself, or not. Here's a expose on the red heifer that I found of interest regarding end time prophecy. I'm going to have to click my buttons to make this happen. So let's see here what happens. Okay, I got that in place. Go to Skype. Click this. All right. Now click it again. Oh, man, cooking with fire. Cooking with fire. It's a little expose on this effort in Israel to sacrifice a red heifer.
I think for many, it feels as though the world has gone off the rails. For some, it might feel as though this has been a decade-long process. But for others, it feels as though 2020 is when the wheels started falling off in earnest. While many will ascribe this increasingly dysfunctionality with the cyclical transformation and transition of power between competing empires and their rivals, or of the mathematically inevitability of our socially destructive use of fractional reserve banking, well, there are others that see signs that the end is nigh. In fact, there are those that are actively seeking not peace nor stability, but are laying out the foundation for bringing about Judgment Day and the end of the world. The question is, why do adherents of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all believe that the imminent sacrifice of a red cow is so important? And how might this red cow, as they believe, depending on the book, of course, ignite the end times and the arrival or the return of the Messiah? During a speech on the 100th day of the Gaza conflict, Hamas spokesman Abu Abida made a surprising statement that went largely unnoticed by the media. Of course it did. Well, he attributed motives for the group's 7th of October attack to Jews, quote, bringing red cows, close quote, to the Holy Land. The red cows he refers to are red heifers that are currently being kept in a secure and undisclosed location in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. What is important to understand is that certain individuals within both the Jewish and evangelical communities in the United States, well, they both view these heifers as essential for reconstructing the ancient Jewish temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed by the Romans 2,000 years ago. As well, they both believe that this to be a prerequisite for the arrival or the return of the Messiah, depending on which group you ask. To envision its reconstruction, devout believers reference the book of Numbers in the Bible, which mandates the Israelites to present a red heifer without defect or blemish for sacrifice. For some American evangelicals, the red heifer's physical flawlessness is symbolic of the spiritual perfection required of Christ to atone for the sins of mankind. What is clear is that both groups firmly assert that only through this offering, that being of a burnt red cow, can the third temple of Jerusalem be reconstructed and reconstituted. While searching globally for such an animal, Yitzhak Mamo, representing Uven Jerusalem, a group advocating for the construction of a new temple in Jerusalem's old city, well, he embarked on a lengthy search to locate red heifers, finally finding and transporting them to Israel from Texas. The envisioned ceremony involves the burning of these red heifers as they overlook the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Mamo emphasizes the necessity of performing the ceremony while facing the site where the ancient Second Temple once stood. However, there is concern as these cows are approaching their third year of life, and the burnt offering or sacrifice must happen soon, as Mamo explains, as they are becoming too old. Notably or conspicuously absent from Mamo's discussion is the current occupant of the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, which was built atop the ruins of the Jewish temple after the Muslim conquest of the Levant. And this mosque holds significant importance in Islam. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third most sacred site in Islam, and this reference stems from the narrative of a mythical night journey wherein it is believed that Muhammad was transported from Mecca to the mosque's location by a miraculous winged donkey. According to the teaching, Muhammad subsequently ascended to heaven where he received divine guidance on Islamic prayer before returning home by morning. Despite the holy nature of the site to Islam, Jewish activists like New York native Melissa Kronfeld are steadfast in their mission, leading groups to the Temple Mount on a regular basis. Kronfeld, a founder of the High and Har organization, stresses the importance of rebuilding the temple, but emphasizes it as a means of preserving the site for all people without infringing on the rights of Muslims. Of course, there is a catch. While Kronfeld advocates for the preservation of the Dome of the Rock, she envisions its relocation to pave the way for the construction of the Third Temple. However, this proposition raises concerns about exacerbating, to put it mildly, existing tensions and potentially escalating the conflict far beyond the confines of the region. And perhaps this is what she and these groups actually want. It should be noted, however, that Kronfeld's vision of a third temple is not widely supported, neither by the Israeli government nor by the majority of Israelis. Nonetheless, it has garnered attention from various Islamist groups, including those in Gaza, whose attack on Israel on the 7th of October was dubbed the Al-Aqsa Wave. And it should be noted that the group's emblem features the Dome of the Rock behind two crossed swords. Despite setbacks such as the ongoing conflict, Jewish activists remain undeterred, and some have even seized upon the conflict as an opportunity to advance their cause in the United States, as seen by events like the National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance in Washington, D.C. Organized by U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who gave the keynote prayer, he was then followed by speeches from prominent evangelical leaders and congressmen. Among many American evangelicals, there is a belief that the presence of red heifers and them being given as burnt sacrificial offerings will signal the imminent return of Christ. At this same gathering in D.C., Yitzhak Mamo again, well, he shared his aspirations for a third Jewish temple alongside discussions about the significance of red heifers in the context of Christian beliefs. Byron Stitson, one of the individuals involved in bringing the red heifers to Israel, well, he expressed his belief that they symbolize the blood of Jesus Christ, underscoring the intertwining of religious narratives in this quest to burn the red cows. Of importance, according to Jewish belief, is that only 9 heifers were offered as sacrifices from the time of Moses until the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, and it is believed that the 10th red heifer sacrifice will herald the onset of the Messianic era. Similarly, evangelical Christians who very much attempt to interpret biblical prophecy, well, they anticipate the construction of a third temple to then be followed by its desecration by the Antichrist, as they believe this to be a prerequisite for the return of Christ. So consequently, both within the religious Jewish community and among evangelicals, there is significant anticipation surrounding the burning of these red cows in sacrifice. In fact, many of these disparate groups hope that this will be carried out, the burnt sacrifice, that is. It'll be carried out before this year's Passover, which begins on the 22nd of April. And even more interesting, if you can call it that, in their apocalyptic vision of red cows, burnt offerings, the building of temples, and the enlarging of a regional war into something ever and ever more serious, many of the evangelical Americans involved, well, they believe that an upcoming total solar eclipse that will be visible across North America and will take place on the 8th of April, that is 2024, and that happens on a Monday, well, they believe that this is a signal from God on his impending judgment of humanity. While many might scoff, and many, including most of you watching this video, well, you might not take any of this seriously, it is being taken very seriously by evangelicals, including the current Speaker of the House, Jews, and also Muslims, that clearly stated that they saw the arrival of red cows from America as an existential threat and a provocation that demanded an answer. And that answer is one that we have witnessed the destructive aftermath of for months now. Either way, April may or may not be a lot more eventful than many of us realize, as most of us are not paying attention to those that seek Armageddon, the end times, and the arrival or return of, depending on which group you talk to, of the Messiah. In the end, it is a pretty fragile and dysfunctional world that we live in, where burning cows and eclipses are seen as the precursor to the imminent arrival of God's wrath. And the only way to bring forth that divine wrath, by those that are believers, that is to not only sacrifice cows, but to kill each other. Amen, as they say. So that's the end. Thanks very much for watching. If you like this video, please.
Yeah, interesting. Unbiased, kind of objective take on the goings-on of the day, if you will, as they say. What else we got here? I think I found one earlier regarding the events in the celestial. The events in the sky that are coming upon us. Yeah, I did. I found one earlier, and I'm going to play a segment of it to close out the little show, the little apocalyptic one-to-one with Darren show. So bear with me as I click around the buttons here on the computer. Okay, click that button. Click it again. And ignition. All right, this was, it was all right. I mean, you know, talks a lot about CERN, how the Satanists are excited too. It's not just the God-fearing who are in anticipation, but the Satanists are excited. It's kind of an anniversary of Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. One of the highly regarded books of Satanism. This coming month of April, they're celebrating Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. Satanic literature.
Believe whatever they're told. These psychopaths can say whatever they want. This is the Rebel Call Channel. Welcome to today's show. This is a video that I need to share on both the website as well as on YouTube. And if you're somebody out there who shares my videos, please share it and let people know where they can find my content if they're looking for my content again. This eclipse that's coming up is surrounded by a lot of bizarre things, a lot of satanic ritual dates, and something could likely occur during the eclipse. Now, I'm not going to say that something's definitely going to happen. I haven't had some type of prophetic vision. I'm not one of these people that date sets and does that type of stuff. But I will point out some of the things that are going on around April the 8th involving CERN, involving NASA, involving even a devil comet, as well as the specific date of April the 8th and what it means to Thelema, Aleister Crowley's satanic coven, which during that date period from April the 8th to April the 10th was the feast of the 3 days of the writing of the Book of the Law. And the Book of the Law is really what we're seeing come into fruition in today's society, the normalization of a lot of the things that were written in the Book of the Law, right? The Book of the Law, the rule and the law under love. These are all Aleister Crowley mottos. So we need to look at a lot of the things going on around April the 8th. Now, when they come out and tell us that there's going to be things going on with NASA and CERN, they're obviously telling us this because they need to cloak and they need to cover up for any mysterious things that might occur. They need to cover up any, of course, conspiracy theories that they're so concerned about because we're all so crazy, right? They don't want to wait you to wake up to the spiritual war that's going on. They want you to stay stuck in their fictional make-believe reality, which is all based around evolution. They want you to believe in the science. But the real reality is that the science is witchcraft and magic being normalized right before our eyes. And they just label it science so that you don't think any further and you don't question it. And you feel so dumb about them saying it's science that you go, well, I don't really understand science. So when I hear that CERN is trying to, you know, open up a black hole, I won't think anything of it. When I hear that NASA is firing missiles at the eclipse, I won't think anything of it because these people are smarter than I am and they know more than me. So I won't even think twice. And anybody out there that questions these types of things, I will dub a conspiracy theorist and I will do what I can to silence them because I'm a little foot soldier for the New World Order because I'm not smart enough to think freely. So there's a bunch of things surrounding this eclipse that people out there need to be familiar with. Let's start with the fact that CERN is turning back on the Hadron Collider. Now, for people out there that don't understand CERN, CERN openly talks about trying to open up a black hole. And people are just like, oh, wow. Nobody goes, why are we trying to do that? Is that safe? Is that dangerous? Who's funding this, by the way? When we look at CERN from a map, we just see a gigantic circle that looks a lot like those circles we see in huge witchcraft rituals, right? Or minimal witchcraft rituals, but witchcraft rituals nonetheless, right? We always see what they call protection circles, magic circles, right? It's notorious with witchcraft. So we see this giant circle around CERN, and we're told that we're not really supposed to understand CERN. We're too dumb to understand CERN. And anybody out there that thinks it's a bad idea that CERN is hunting for ghost particles on April the 8th while the eclipse is happening, well, you're just a stupid conspiracy theorist, right? And it's very convenient that on April the 8th, CERN would be attempting to do this. Now, for those of you that don't know, CERN, people have been programmed out there with predictive programming involving CERN. The entire show, Stranger Things, is based off of what they're trying to do at CERN. That's one of the reasons it's such a popular show is they promoted the crap out of it because they're using sigil magic on you. They're using predictive programming on you. They're conditioning you into thinking the stuff that we're talking about here is all make-believe. Like people stumble upon my channel and be like, this guy thinks Stranger Things is real, right? And they don't even realize why spiritually they're so drawn into these shows because God is pulling at their heartstrings, trying to wake them up to what's really going on, the deception that they're in. So the whole concept of CERN and the upside down and that machine that you always see them pointing and the rays coming out of the machine is literally the Hadron Collider. It's literally them trying to open up the black hole. And that's what the upside down represents, lifting of the veil and bringing over what's on the other side. So conveniently, while this eclipse is occurring, while our own government's talking about blocking out the sun, while we always hear Satanists singing about black hole sun. We have CERN doing that, right? They're hunting for ghost particles. Ghost particles. People just go, oh, they're hunting for ghost particles. They don't think it has anything to do with bringing over demonic entities. Well, of course it does. Of course it does. On April the 8th, right, the date, were the 3 days of the writing of the Book of the Law, which is a very significant date to the occult. Now, at the same time as that, we have NASA, who is now firing NASA, who, again, I mean, what do people have to think NASA's doing? That's the biggest question I might have in my life these days. What do people think they're doing? They supposedly went to the moon 60 years ago, and every time they try to go back, they can't get there. What do you think they're actually doing? Well, NASA's coming out and telling us today that they're going to be firing 3 rockets at the solar eclipse. Oh, wait, it gets even more unreal. The serpent deity. This is from Forbes. Listen to this. The space agency's project Atmospheric Perturbations Around the Eclipse Path will investigate how that drop in sunlight and temperature affects Earth's upper atmosphere. APEP is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, nemesis of the sun deity Ra, according to NASA. So now we have even this Egyptian satanic deity worship involved openly with what they're trying to do at NASA. They're telling you this stuff, right? And we all know about Ra and Aleister Crowley. So there's a connection there with Amon-Ra and Aleister Crowley. I mean, can you make it up? How much stuff is right in front of our faces? No, you can't. Now, some of you may forget the commercial that CERN aired before I get back into the stuff with NASA and CERN and what they're claiming they're trying to do. But everybody out there who might be new to this stuff needs to see this commercial. You think this is normal and this is science? Well, you better take your blindfold off, okay? CERN aired this commercial years ago. We all covered it years ago when we were all allowed to cover this stuff, where they were literally showing you the search for the smallest particle. And they were showing you a gigantic satanic ritual in their commercial. And people see this stuff and they're like, I don't really know what they're doing. It's this is the occult in action. Look at this commercial from CERN.
And so he plays a commercial with a bunch of symbology and a ritual that aired on your televisions some years ago regarding CERN. Have a good week. Thank you for listening. God bless you all.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the 4 most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number 1 is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number 2 is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number 3, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number 4 is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.